morning, everybody.
Let's see, is the lapel mic close enough to my face? I think probably yes. So Google Wave, you know, is a new communication collaboration tool. What really excites me the most about Google Wave is the protocol aspects and sort of the federation technology that's designed to make it possible for there to be lots of different wave providers. Let me get this going here. So just for context, Google Wave, it is a product that implements this protocol, but the whole idea is to help improve the way communication works on the web. And we've sent out several million invitations at this stage, and we've seen more than a million 7-day actives. So what that sort of shows you is that people are enjoying using this new tool. They use it for many different things, including a back channel at conferences just like these, which is why we put together these waves to try and make it easier to sort of do that and have that experience. But that's all I'm really going to say about Google Wave, the product. So just like email is the technology, technology behind Gmail, Hotmail, or Yahoo Mail, or whatever it might be, Wave is the technology behind Google Wave, the product. And we hope that'll be many other products in the future as well. So in email land, you guys probably remember this, like emails just get sort of messy as time goes on. And in the Wave land, things are designed to be it's one shared hosted conversation, and the point is that you're all collaborating and working on the same document space, and then each one of these wavelets, yes, this one happens to be hosted on a Google Wave based on the Google colors and the icon, but the point is that each wavelet is actually controlled by whichever wave provider happens to have started it. And the point there is that if you have all participants that are on the one same wave provider, no data is leaked across the different wave providers. We sort of envision a greater ecosystem of many wave providers all interoperating. Or really, a wave provider can come up and choose not to interoperate into the rest of the network. So you can sort of use the wave model without actually interoperating. So it's sort of thought about, we think about it sort of similar to SMTP, where anybody can bring up their own wave provider. So, why are we doing this? Today, most communication and collaboration happens, it eventually boils down to just email. And we sort of thought we should take a look at and try and take advantage of the last 30 or 40 years of technological evolution and improvement. Seems like a good idea, there's faster pipes, there's better JavaScript in the browser, or there is JavaScript, there is a browser, those types of things. And really what it boils down to then at the end is that just giving people choice in their various wave providers, because a given wave provider is going to excel at different feature sets. Google Wave, the product, happens to focus on both communication and collaboration, but you can certainly imagine a wave provider that is just about collaboration. It doesn't try and do the email-like or the IM-like aspects of communication. So there's a whole bunch of things we have to do to make this real. We need protocol specs, we need white papers, we need code, we need a community involved, and then there's the reference implementation, which is obviously very important to bootstrap the effort. So at Google I/O, we put out a site which had, a very early draft of the protocol spec. I had a few white papers up there to help make it more clear about how the architecture works and how you can start to understand all the different pieces and how you can get involved and contribute. And we have a community at waveprotocol.org that is slowly emerging. Right now, it's basically just a Google group mail list. Obviously, we'd rather, at some stage, move that into a Wave discussion group. But we want to make sure that it's always open and inclusive, so we haven't done that yet at this stage, since Wave isn't publicly available for everybody at this stage. In terms of what we've already open sourced at this stage, so there's the operational transform code, which is really the heart and soul of how the collaboration and the consistency works when you're all typing on the Wave at the same time. We've already open sourced that core algorithm, and we've open sourced pieces of the Wave model that help make that algorithm implementable. Fed1 is an example client server. It's really sort of our hello world of the Federation protocol. So it was implemented from scratch just to make sure that it was independently implementable as opposed to the thing we'd already built, which is a little bit more complicated, you might say. In the end, this is around 40,000 lines of Java code, all Apache 2, just to be liberal about everything so people can do with it what they'd like. And then the other point, while it's not quite something we've open sourced, wavesandbox.com does now have a Federation port, whereas before it was just our intention to put out a Federation port. So we put a lot of effort into making it possible to take a FedOne instance and have it up and running and talk to Wave Sandbox. Yes, you'll need to get certificates, but security is a good thing, not a bad thing. So, you know, that seems like a good idea. So I do now have a demo. So Novell Pulse is a new product that Novell's been working on for quite some time now to try and improve enterprise collaboration. And when Google I.O. happened, they sort of saw Wave, and they're like, hey, you know, this would make our product even better. So they decided to take a look at the OT model, and they've already started using the code we open sourced. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. So what you're going to see here is a split-screen demo. I should point out that this is a never-before-seen demo. They announced their intention back in November. So on the left is Wave Sandbox, and on the right is Novell Pulse. So you can see somebody is starting a new Wave, just sort of talking about a meeting they're planning, and typing away. And now he's going to add somebody from Novell Pulse. And there shows. And so what's interesting now is that you're used to character-by-character typing as part of the Wave demo, but hey, look, this is actually in two entirely different products. Clapping's all right. It's interesting because you'll notice that in here, this is the Wave view, or the Wave panel, as we call it, whereas over here, they don't have exactly the same metaphors for their product. So this, what you see for Novell Pulse is not coming in exactly the same way, because it's actually like a digest view, so it's the sort of the condensed snippet, and they've decided to also show replies as part of that condensed snippet. But now when a Novell user wants to actually go and respond to it, they visit the Wave, and that's what they just did there. And so now when they respond to it, another thing you'll notice is that as they're responding, those characters are not showing up on Google Wave, and that, again, is another product decision they decided to choose to make. We would call that auto draft mode in our language. But it's interesting that they've decided to do a different thing. One thing this video overall underscores is that you can use the Wave model for two different use cases and make two different sets of product decisions, and that's okay. That's sort of the whole point. So they're continuing to respond, discussing where they should have lunch related to the meeting. And so, a couple more points. Not exactly the tightest script, I will admit. It's not either bad, yeah. Yeah, so the question was, Etherpad's been acquired by Google. Is Etherpad going to die? Well, Etherpad actually was open sourced last year. Not long after the acquisition by Google. So we open sourced it so people could take the Etherpad code and do with it what they'd like. But let's hold questions until a little bit later, if that's all right. A couple more points to show. One was that you'll notice now the Wave Sandbox user is actually editing a blip that was originally created by the Novell Pulse user, and it doesn't break, which is good. Things with the Wave Sandbox port and Novell Pulse, you know, all things with Google Wave are early at this stage, so it's, we're all working through the bugs together. So they just dropped a href in and showed that it still worked, and now the last point here is just you'll see diff on open, which is the little yellow highlight happening over here, happened because he made an edit to a blip that had originally been created by the Wave Sandbox user. But yeah, the bottom line here is that, you know, they've managed to take the code and integrate it with their existing product, and now the two systems are talking. So that's cool. So certainly there's more work to be done. We've got to continue evolving the specs and make them more comprehensive so that they fully represent everything you need to do to be a Wave provider. And I think another thing that's really important is that we need to continue working out where the line is between Google Wave the product and the Wave model and the Wave technology. Because I think that it's something that's new and with something that has so many edges to it, it'll take some time for that line to evolve exactly where it is. That's where we need more use cases like Novell Pulse to figure out, you know, where that line should be. I think one example is that, like, you might remember there's the spelling agent, the bean soup demo, as we call it. There's the spelling agent that is certainly something that Google Wave has decided to offer their users, but it wouldn't be a requirement of all Wave providers. Whereas in the case of the operational transformer algorithm, you know, since it's pretty important that everybody does the exact same thing when you have concurrency happening on one, or when you have editing happening on one Wave, everybody has to use the same OT algorithm. We are also preparing to open source more code. It's likely that in the next drop of code, we'll open source the editor, which is certainly something that I think a lot of people are looking forward to. And that will be an ongoing process. We have to disentangle a lot of our own infrastructure, like Google-specific infrastructure that wouldn't work on non-Google machines, and make it possible for the community to consume it, and then figure out which pieces we have to replace and that kind of thing. And then also, from the Federation port perspective, we're working to increase reliability, so we want to make sure that the operations are reliably delivered, security, like TLS, and make sure all that's working as it should with the crypto signatures, and then just productionizing the work to make it even stable for real user data. So we're also working to open up the ports on the real instance, not just the sandbox. As we start to move towards talking about some aspects that are further out on the horizon, I wanted to show one more demo. It's also a demo that's never been seen before. I can't really recommend the demo, but it was pretty cool anyway, so I wanted to show it. There's a guy out in New York who just loves Emacs. He wants to do everything in Emacs. There might be a couple. Yeah, is there anybody in the room who loves doing everything in Emacs? There we go. You should pay attention. All right. He went ahead and he did it. He reverse engineered our JSON client server protocol and is attempting to use Emacs as his Wave client by still talking to our servers. So this is really not the way to do things, because he's using an unsupported and unpublished JSON protocol, but you can see it's working, and it will probably break as soon as we, you know, change one line of code or something like that. But it's pretty cool to see, hey, it's really fast, but it also turns out he's pulling, and this is just a snapshot, so it's just read-only. So this is really not the way you want to do things, but it was interesting nonetheless. Yeah, pretty much. Let's see. It does underscore that, yes, we do need to have a client-server protocol, and I think that's something that we'll want to help with as 2010 continues, but we really wanted to focus on the Federation level, because having servers interoperate was the first step, and having the OT algorithm out there. We're trying to do these things in do the dominoes in the order that they make the most sense, just because there is limited resources everywhere. We want to get to a fully featured reference implementation that you can actually just use out of the box. We also want to, from the APIs, I haven't even mentioned them yet at all in the talk, but certainly the platform aspects are all really interesting, and others will talk more about that as the day unfolds. But the robots and the gadgets and the embed API, it seems to make sense that any given Wave provider would implement the same core API platform. So similar to the open social model, it probably makes sense that we should have a core API layer that can then be extended for the particular Wave providers to offer more functionality to developers. Then compliance testing suite would also make sense for any given standard to make sure that, you know, all the different providers are actually compliant. Just some other things that we're thinking about. That's really all I had. I'm looking forward to chatting some more today and hearing from the other presentations. Thanks.
Any questions?
When are we going to get a standard for how to communicate to a Wave server from a Wave client? Like, you've got your JSON API was just generated out of GWT, I think.
So you're asking about the client server protocol?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did just mention that it's something that's on our mind, but we are starting with the server to server protocol, which is where we've been focusing at this stage. Yeah, our general thought around the client-server protocol is that what makes the most sense is that there's a standard, something like IMAP, where every wave provider can implement a given standard, but then internally under the hood, they can use whatever they want. And that allows for any given wave provider to maintain performance on their own clients, but then also any client to be built and work across wave providers. Because yeah, it makes sense you should be able to play around with the wave and sort of build a cool new client without having to deal with the back end. But at this stage, yes, the guy who did the Emacs work figured out what to do, but that's really not the best way to do it. We need to come up with a standard and publish that. Yeah. Any other questions?
Okay, so with the federated server, you've got two people hacking on the same wave and they try to do different things at the same time. What's the approach for dealing with that kind of split brain problem?
So how does the operational transform work when you have a collision of that nature? So I'm certainly not the OT expert. I can say that, I don't know, Shane, if you have a better answer than this, but like the, so basically we've done the math to figure out what the thing makes the most sense, and we've tried to implement that, basically.
Broadly speaking, does it, so say you've got two federated servers and there's a disconnect in the network for like an hour.
Oh, and, so and two federated servers. Sorry, I didn't hear that part. Yeah, I thought you said two users on one server.
Yeah, two users on one server. You've disconnected for an hour because, you know, the internet's flaky or whatever, and then you're reconnected, done different things. What happens?
Two users on one server?
No, let's say one's on your Pulse, Novell Pulse, and one's on your Google Wave. And
yeah,
then they reconnect.
That does make it more complicated because for any given, Wavelet is actually the technical unit of what federates around. And so if, say, the wavelet is hosted on Novell Pulse, then I would suspect it's likely that the Novell Pulse user's content will be the one that's accepted, primarily because a wavelet, the whoever accepts and rejects is the person who owns that wavelet. So the wavelet has a signature to it where it's like novellpulse.com: some crazy wave ID. And then the wave sandbox user, is their server is effectively a slave to that master. These are things we need to work through. So I don't know that that's the actual answer. That's just sort of what I think, but I could be wrong for sure. And I think that, you know, we haven't, like, so yes, there are Fed1 instances that are talking to Wave Sandbox, but Novell Pulse and Wave Sandbox have only started now working together. So we'll need to figure out how this works. Because the other situation is actually worse than that is, what if the Novell Sandbox instance disappears forever? And what if it's actually the one that owns the wavelet? Then can nobody else use the content? Like, I mean, you could elect a master, sort of a distributed networking model, elect a new master to then take over that wavelet or something like that. But we need to work through these things. Sorry, he's doing questions, but I think there's one closer to the mic at the stage. Or maybe he had his hand up first, I'm not sure.
I'm just curious whether the federation would allow a user in the sandbox, or actually probably better from Pulse, to access the bots that you have in the sandbox. When you were talking about the spell checker, can you federate the spell checker function?
So the question was, can you federate the spell checker bot or agent rather? So it seems to make sense that a wave provider could also offer services to other wave providers, but it would likely go through the federation protocol, and then Novell could like opt in or come into an agreement with a given wave provider to provide those services. So it makes sense to me, but I think we need to make sure that other people agree, but I don't see a problem with it.
So as you said, you don't know what Wave is going to do, but something to look at and for everyone else to look at is Jesse Vincent's SD ticket, distributed ticket tracking system, because that answers the same question. The tickets aren't in a centralized server. Anybody anywhere who have a checkout of the ticketing system can change a ticket, and then when they resynchronize, the tickets are merged again. It's similar to the merge problem with a distributed source control system. SD turns out it's easier to merge tickets that are written by humans than it is to merge code designed for compilers. I would suspect and hope that Wave takes a similar approach that SD does.
Do you want to drop a link to that in the Waves just so we can follow up on that and look at it?
All right, I'll do that. Cool. Though everyone can just Google for Jesse Vincent SD and find it too.
Yeah, I don't want to try and write it down right this moment. yeah, bring up James now. Cool. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, just don't hit your head.
Hey, look at that.